Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Acts and right in the middle of just an amazing story, a miracle, really, of Peter and John. And we didn't even mention this yesterday, Josh, that just the fact that Peter and John are ministering together, that's the heartwarming.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here were two guys that, you know, had their good times and their bad times, their ups and downs, and now all of we pointed out yesterday that, you know, everybody was all in. They're all working together. And there's so much in these first 2 to 3 chapters where we see the unification of, you know, these disciples that are following Christ and the early church.
It's a pattern for ministry, too, that people typically in the Bible ministered in pairs. Mm-hmm. So you see Peter and John, or you'll see Barnabas and Saul, or you'll see Barnabas and Mark, or you'll see Paul and Silas, or Paul and Timothy. Ministry partnerships provide encouragement and accountability.
Yeah, and you know, there are times in ministry, and if you're out there listening today and you're in ministry, you'll know this, that it's just tough. It just is. It's hard. Ministry is hard sometimes, and to have somebody alongside you, going through that with you, being able to help you through the difficulties. Obviously, God is always there, but having somebody else, another human being that can walk alongside you, always helps.
So they do this miracle. In Acts chapter 3, the man that had been lame is now leaping and walking and praising God. We sing the children's song. Yep. And interestingly, he follows them into the temple. Mm-hmm. So he wants to go worship God.
Yeah.
It's the hour of prayer. What a great response of gratitude, realizing that this was not Peter and John. It's that in the name, that means through the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeah. So in essence, Peter and John have not only healed him, but they've also pointed him to the healer. Yeah. Yeah. And I love what the Bible says in verse 9. So Acts chapter 3 and verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So there is the purpose of the miracle, is that now it is an undeniable sign that something has happened that is inexplicable, and that something that has happened because of the power of the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I love that Peter was very quick to point it out, that it was Jesus that had performed this miracle, you know, that it was the power of Christ, and pointing everybody to him. I mean, I think it's a good template for us today. You know, often we can accomplish something or feel as though we've accomplished something and begin to take the honor, the glory, the praise from mankind for it. And certainly that would have been possible for Peter and John to say, hey, look at what we've done. Look at the miracle that we performed. But he's quick to point the praise and the honor to Jesus.
There's nothing more powerful as far as the testimony of Christ than the power of a changed life. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that today we're seeing people that are on the side of the road that are immediately receiving this kind of a miracle, but there ought to be a demonstrable difference in the life of the person whom Jesus has entered, whom Jesus has touched. And people couldn't deny this. They knew who this guy was. They knew what he was, and now they knew what he had become. And that is a powerful testimony for Christ when people know who you were and then they know what you've become.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, for this guy, it's a physical thing, but it's more than just a physical thing. It's his spiritual life too, because as you pointed out already, what's his first act? His first act after getting healed physically is to stand up, walk into the temple and to begin praising God. And could you imagine like just seeing this, you know, he's walking around, but he's not just walking. Here's this man that's been laid by the gate beautiful for so many years, now walking and leaping, jumping around and praising God. What a beautiful sight this must have been.
So if Peter had not been careful to offer that caveat,
yeah,
to say it's in the name of Jesus that this is taking place, it would be very easy for this man to be leaping and walking and praising Peter.
Sure, yeah.
Or leaping and walking and praising John.
Yeah.
And how often in public ministry do we see attention given to a pastor or to an evangelist or to a ministry or to a, and not to the Lord?
Right, right.
And I think the fault many times falls in the spiritual leader.
Yes.
Who is not careful in ministry to deflect it to the power of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. And that can always be, for those of us that are in ministry, can always be an awkward situation when someone comes and tries to give you praise to figure out, okay, am I supposed to say thank you? Am I supposed to, you know, I've heard it called the glorification of the worm ceremony, where everybody walks by after you're done preaching and shakes your hand and says, good job, pastor, or, you know, whatever,
right,
whatever they might say. But, you know, those can be awkward conversations for a pastor, but we've got to be careful to make sure that we're saying, hey, this is the Lord's praise. And you know, not accept it for ourselves, but to deflect that praise, that glory, that honor to God.
It reminds me of the guy that wanted to candidate at a church. And when he was done preaching, everyone came up afterwards to say a word. And a one old man came through the line and just looked at him and straight in the eye and said, it was too long. And he just kind of rattled him. And
yeah,
a little bit later, that same guy got back in line. And came back through and said, too shallow. And then he's like, oh my goodness. Well, he didn't say anything. He's the guest preacher.
Right, right.
A little bit later, the same guy comes through and says, too loud. And finally, he just had enough. And so he kind of took the deacon chairman aside and said, hey, listen, you know, this one little old man, he pointed him out, keeps on getting in line. And the deacon chairman shut him off and said, hey, listen, don't pay any attention to him. He just goes around repeating everything he hears. So there you go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not about the preacher.
That's right. It never is. It's always about God.
That's exactly right. Verse 11, and as the lame man, I think that's the first joke. As corny as it was, that was a dad joke for sure. I mean, it was the first joke in everyday truth history that I told. Folks, I expect at least a courtesy laugh.
That's
on that
right.
One.
Yeah, yeah. Drop a review, not
no,
of the
don't,
jokes.
No,
of the jokes.
Do not drop a review. I need good reviews. Look at verse 11. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John. Isn't that something? These are his new best buddies. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So, Josh, you've been with me to the Temple Mount. Mm-hmm. Solomon's porch, it was a big, wide, expansive area of the temple where literally hundreds, even thousands of people could gather.
Right.
So it's a perfect spot for a crowd to gather around an anomaly like this.
Yeah.
The Bible says in verse 12, and when Peter saw it, so he sees the crowd gathering, he realizes that this miracle has caused this great stir. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers. So what is Peter doing here? He's drawing in the Jewish audience.
Yes, yeah.
Hath glorified his son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So I'm going to stop right there.
It's a lot.
And say, wow.
Yeah.
So they're all excited. Mm-hmm. They're running to see, hey, have you seen the miracle? Have you seen this lame man? And what does Peter do? He uses all of it simply as a pretext to say, listen, don't marvel at us. Don't be so excited about this miracle. We did this in the power of Jesus Christ, whom, by the way, you are responsible for rejecting and killing.
Yeah, so we're going to see another message from Peter here, similar to the one that he preached in our previous chapter. But, you know, the thing that I thought of as you were reading that was just how much Peter is deflecting here. I mean, when he performs the miracle, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then as the crowd gathers and says, wow, did you see what he did? And there's the guy, he's holding on to him right there. Peter just continues to say, no, it's God. It's the power of Christ. It's the one that you killed. It's the one that you rejected that did this miracle, not me.
And these were the same disciples, my friends, if you followed us in the Luke series, that we're so intent upon being the greatest in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Who gets to sit in the higher seats and who gets to rule and reign. And boy, the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is going to bring humility. It's going to bring focus. Remember, the Spirit of God does not speak of himself, but always points to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So when a person is controlled by the Spirit of God, you're going to see humility. You're going to see spiritual power. You're going to see a lot of talk about Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, think about the man that's saying these words. It's Peter, right? I mean, he had not too terribly long ago denied Jesus himself, right? Three times on that night. And now here he is in verse 13, looking at these people and saying, hey, you denied him before Pilate. And we can read that and say, well, Peter was a hypocrite and, you know, he didn't have any right to tell these people that they denied Jesus. But the fact is that Peter, he repented of that. He's going to encourage them to do those same things in just a minute. But he had repented of that sin, of that denial. And now he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he's got this newfound power and courage to stand up and really preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It probably took me less than 1 minute to read the selection I just read. But in that small selection I read, you find Peter dealing with their sin. He find Peter dealing with the gospel. Okay, so he deals with their sin and says, listen, you're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
This is God. This is who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. So he deals with the identity of Christ.
Yep.
And then here's what Jesus did. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And then we're witnesses of it. So in just 1 minute's time, Peter has deflected the entire situation to say, this is about Jesus, who is the Son of God, who died, was buried, and rose again. Boy, he made a beeline for the gospel, didn't he?
Yeah, and you know what? I love what he says in verse 15. In verse 15, he says, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. And so, you know, it's just really like he uses that terminology for Jesus, the Prince of Life. You killed the Prince of Life.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going to stay dead. He's the Prince of Life. You know, he's going to come back to life.
Right.
And just what a powerful truth just in those three little words.
You were given the best gift of all time and you threw it in the proverbial trash can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
But it didn't stay in the trash can.
Right.
Okay. And God in his mercy is about to offer you that gift yet again.
Yeah,
so we're going to come back to that, my friends. But boy, are we looking to use circumstances, even things about which we can take the praise, and we never should, but are we looking for ways to deflect it, to start the conversation starters about the gospel, about Jesus, about people's need to invite him into their life? We're going to see the invitation part of this sermon next episode, but I do want to thank you for joining us. Thanks for the time that you invest. I don't think it's in vain. I hope that you'll take what you've learned and make it a part of your everyday life, and even share this podcast with somebody else if you'd be so inclined. Appreciate you, my friends. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.